The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 7 o'clock Central Time on Monday, 10:15, day before my sister's birthday. I'm your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mike. And good evening, Para-X.
With us as well, who is still left over from the Paracon this weekend, is one of my Dubuque investigators, Miss Debbie Krabbenhoft.
Hello, Para-X. Hello, Dave. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Debbie.
I don't think you need to say hi to me. You're sitting right next to me.
Just trying to be inclusive.
I understand. Usually when I come on the air, anybody that listens a lot, I guess, that's ever binge listened to the shows on the website, knows that I pretty much more animated, I guess I want to say, with my opening, and I wasn't today for a very specific reason. So woke up this morning, about 10:30. I think I looked at the clock. It was like 10:38, and laid in bed for a little bit and was like, well, I've been trying to get a hold of my grandmother, since Sunday afternoon. So I was like, I'll give her a call since I know she's in her room. Gave her a call and my sister answered, which isn't shocking. But what was the fact that she was informing me that she had just gotten there and found my grandma had passed away. Which, it's not surprising. She was 97. But that doesn't particularly make it any easier. She was a humongous part of my life, had been for obviously the last 37 years. And even though I know that this is, to be honest, this is what she wanted. I think she was ready to go like a decade ago. In fact, I even made a comment to one of her friends a couple years ago about if she were to pass, the person that would probably be the happiest would be her. So I'm relieved that I guess she finally got what she wanted. Her health had been declining for a while and she already could not hear a single thing. Every time that I went over there, I brought my monitor and my laptop, hooked it up and wrote everything that we discussed. And anytime she went out of her room, she had a whiteboard that she used to communicate with everybody with. But now her eyesight was going. And the life that she lived and everything that she has done over the past at least 25 years, if not my entire life, is something I think everybody can, should try to aspire to. She formed a knitting group at her assisted living apartment complex, and for 25 years, she knitted mittens for elementary school kids. She knitted cancer beanies for cancer patients, stuffed animals for the children's hospital. She volunteered at church. In fact, I talked to the church lady today to set up or to get the ball rolling for the funeral stuff, and the lady was like, she was my coffee lady for years, you know, and they absolutely adored her, as they should. So I wanted to take the first couple minutes of the show and just I don't know, let me talk about that, I guess. But you know, the thing is, and I'm sure that a lot of people, you know, whatever they want to say, the cultural thing is always, I'm sorry for your loss, you know, that kind of thing. And I really have to tell you that I despise it. I despise hearing it, because it doesn't make it any better. But I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate everything. But I think the one thing that I like to hear is, I understand. You know, that's it. The relatability. The I'm sorry is, I don't know, redundant. No. Dave, what am I looking for here? Just not so much redundant, but it's
overused, I think. You know, it's a simplistic way to try to express your feelings, and yes, it's appropriate, but I know exactly where you're coming from. You can only hear it like two or three times and it feels genuine, and like on the 80th time, it just doesn't carry the same capacity as what you're talking about. So
yes, no, yes. And that was it. Yes. I mean, yeah, that's really all it is. I agree with you. You know, you hear it two or three times, you know, right after it happens, to the people who find out about it first, and you're like, you know, thank you. But yeah, once it gets to, you know, the third cousin four times removed who heard it, you know, through the grapevine, you know, or people that know you're upset about it but didn't actually know her, you know, personally. It stops carrying its meaning. And I mean, I know they're sorry, but what are they sorry for? Their lives are not affected at all. But to hear the phrase "I understand," you know, it's that, no matter who you are, whether you knew her or not, whether, you know, we're good friends or not, that carries the weight every time. So that's all I had. I just wanted to take a few minutes to bring that up. I thank everybody for listening to the sorrowness of it. But being part of the paranormal, you have to take into account that she, you know, they say, oh, she's in a better place. Well, we pretty much know that. You know, and I do think, yeah, she might hang around, maybe just make sure my sister and I are all right. But if that's the case, I think very, very soon, she's going to run as fast as she can towards that light and, join up with my grandpa and mother, her daughter. So, with that said, on with the show. And we do actually have a topic. I guess it's not so much a topic, but just relaying the stories from this this weekend's Paracon, which was very, very awesome. Yes, Dave.
So I've already expressed my feelings towards, you know, what happened. So I'm not going to do that again. But I am going to say this. I'm going to say it sucks. And it sucks for a couple of reasons. Number one, it sucks to get to 97 years old and not hit the century mark. Because, man, I know, like, if she wanted to go and she's been thinking about it for a decade and then you hit 97, I bet just a smidgen of a moment of her life she was like, damn, 97. Three more and I hit the century mark, baby. You know, I mean, how could you not? I would feel that way. I'd be like, I better make it. I made it 97. I better make it three more years, damn it. And get to 100, you know?
You know, normally I would agree with you, but I actually teased her about that.
Yeah.
I think, like, just last week or whatever, I said, you know, don't worry, Graham, you're going to be here for at least another decade.
Yeah.
And she pretty much said, I better not. And she
just getting tired.
She was not, she had no goal in mind to hit. Right. I don't think she wanted to hit 96, but
all right. Well, that's fine. I was throwing that out there. But the second part definitely is true and undebatable. It sucks that as big and as important as she was in your life, that somehow I never got a chance to meet her. And I think that sucks, that I would have loved to have met her and to got to spend a little bit of time with her just to see what you saw. And I'm sure that would have enriched my life. And I didn't get that opportunity for whatever reason. And so, and it's not about me. It's just about the fact that I think that it would have been great to have met her as a person and got to see what you saw. So it sucks that never happened.
I agree, especially since she often asked, you know, about who, you know, who was going on investigations with me,
yep,
who was going down to Iowa with me.
Yep.
She definitely knew about you. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, Dave's going. She's like, oh, okay. You know?
So, yeah.
I mean, she definitely knew about you. She asked questions about everybody that I ever mentioned. So,
yep.
Like, I had to tell her what you do for work. I had to tell her where you live. You know, I had to tell her about, you know, you are married, we're married, you have three beautiful daughters.
Yep.
You know, I had to explain all that to her.
Yep, fill in all the blanks. It's like an FBI profiler. Yep.
Yeah, she always had to know about everybody that was in my life.
Yeah.
Because if they effed with me in any way, shape, or form, she was going to go after them.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. She would mess you up. And, you know, she was 80 pounds soaking wet, but she got the wooden stick very, very well. She was very well trained.
Well, God bless her. So.
Yes. So, Paracon in Monoman. Can somebody just tell me, is it Monoman or Monoman?
It's Monoman.
It's Monoman. Okay. The Shooting Star Casino this weekend was Paracon, which, like I said earlier, is awesome. Got to meet, obviously got to see, I just want to start with Grant. Always, yeah, you have to start with Grant. Because I believe he was the first one that I saw when I walked into the VIP dinner on Thursday night.
I think he was too, because right where our table was, he was basically standing right there talking.
It's like he knew.
It's like he was drawn to our table. Because there was a bunch of tables. He was. Because there was a bunch of other tables, but he was right next to our table, just chatting away with a couple of people. Yeah.
Really? Really? Holy mother of pearl.
Nice.
What, is Grant on?
No.
Oh.
Cat.
Cat. Disregard
just
Cat.
Just Cat put into the chat room, Monominum, D, 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 the
phenomena.
No, quiet. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear it even less now than I did over the entire weekend.
All right, I'm done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, obviously, that's far more popular than I gave it credit for.
It is.
Well, crap. That's awful with society, but whatever.
But wait a minute. I got to chime in for a second. I would much rather sing the Muppets Menomina song than listen to some reporter talk about what pair of shoes Kim Kardashian just bought and how much they cost.
True.
Is that what I was watching?
We got three trues.
The commercial today?
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. That was a commercial for Poshmark.
Okay. So, yeah, I wasn't paying attention to what I was watching. So,
but the $700 shoes really caught your attention.
Yeah, I looked up from the TV just in time to see a woman hold up a pair of, like, bright blue pumps and say that it's better than spending, the shoes she was holding was better than spending the $700 for a pair of shoes just like it. And I'm like, excuse me? Did I just hear that correctly? Did she just say she spent $700 on a pair of shoes?
I would say that I haven't spent $700 in the last 10 years on all of the shoes I bought.
No, neither have I. In fact, I have a pair of tennies, and I think I paid $26 for my Red Wings because my company at the time paid for the rest.
Yeah.
Wow. So I can't even imagine having that type of a life. I mean, like, $700 for a pair of pumps. All right.
Do you have three color choices? Do you have, like, because I'll take all three. Do they come in blue, red, and gold? I'll take a 7.5 in all three colors.
Oh, they're 20% off. Oh, that's even better. I'll take another pair.
Oh, absolutely. In case one gets scuffed. Double up on the whole order.
Okay, so back to Grant. What blew me away, because I really was looking forward to seeing Grant.
I was
too. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. And I thought, for sure, I was going to have to reintroduce myself. You know, I was going to have to give him some sort of reference as to why he should know who I am. And I'll be damned if I didn't walk up to where you guys were. He saw me, he's like, there he is. And he stuck his hand out and he's like, this guy right here. And he just started talking about things that had happened like last year and the fact that he wanted the FLIR footage of the ferry at the opera house. And like knew of conversations that him and I had months and months ago. I was floored. I really was. And I know that when he was on the show right after that, you know, I told him about how not so much approachable, but I'm missing out on words here. How
how easy he is to talk to?
Maybe that's it.
Genuine?
Yeah.
Genuine.
Genuine. Yes. Right.
How genuine he was, and just kind of how it just seemed to, regardless of what you said, you know, whether he heard it 100 times before or not, he just seemed to be interested.
Right.
He was just genuinely interested in what you had to say.
Right.
And I think that that's absolutely rare for somebody who is as wanted around, I guess. You know, he's very much sought after. You know, even he said during his presentation, you know, he's like, I've been off, what, TV for 8 years or something like that. And I mean, he's still such a humongous draw. And I think that the reason for that is just that personality that he has, and just the absolute humbleness and I'm just like you guys. Do not look at me any other way.
Well, and you know, just to expand on that, I mean, when he took the stage in the first 5 minutes, he had tears in his eyes twice.
That's true.
And it was, and it wasn't about like somebody had, you know, like something had happened to a family member or something like that. It was simply because he was talking about things that he cared about, which was the people in his life that he had met and things that had happened from like people at Paracon. And, you know, it, like little relationships like that. And he was like choked up about it.
Yeah.
On two separate occasions in the first 5 minutes. I mean, so it just, you know, how many people can, do you think he meets over a course of a year on the circuit, right? I mean, thousands, tens of thousands, you know, 100,000 probably, if not, you know, probably 100,000 over the course of a year, let's say. And he walks in and sees you. He sees me. He goes, there, he goes, hey, and he runs over and grabs my hand. He goes, these are the guys I was telling you about. These are the guys that got it down pat. These guys are doing it the right way. They're the ones that had the fairy that I showed you. And Rihanna was standing right there, yeah. You know,
yeah.
And another person was standing right there. And he was saying all of that to me about us and what we were doing when we got an opportunity to talk with him last year, mm-hmm. and bring him over to the booth. And for him to remember that, it's the same boat as you are. It blew me away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was humbled. I was humbled by that.
Deb, you've been very, very patient and quiet.
Yes, sir.
But I know that Grant was obviously somebody that you really wanted to meet this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you weren't there last year.
No.
So you got to go this year. Why don't you tell us your impressions of meeting Grant for the first time?
Well, to say that I was floored is probably a very big understatement. I mean, when I had the group that my friend and I had started down in Houston, we started it a little bit before Ghost Hunters had came on. And we had the quintessential people in the group who would, you know, take a picture outside on a dusty, windy night and gasp at all the hundreds of orbs and ghosts that they caught in the picture. And my friend and I would just shake our heads and try and tell them, you know, do this, do that. And then all of a sudden Ghost Hunters came on and we started telling those people, like, do you ever hear of Jane Grant? Maybe you should start watching this show. And we started taking their tips, watching them, seeing, kind of like using them as a baseline for the rules that we went investigating with. And to actually watch him over the course of the past 12 years or so, 13, something like that, and to actually have a paranormal idol like that be right in the same room with me, actually walk up to me and offer his hand and a hug, and it was just awe-inspiring. I babbled like a baby when he first came up to me at first, but like you guys said, they're just real people, and the amount of kindness and how genuine he was compared to anybody else that would be as big as he has been over the years was just amazing.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you on that one. So I know, and Dave, I haven't talked to you about this, but I don't know why you would fight me in any way, shape, or form on it. But I'm thinking in the next couple of weeks, I'd like to have, if he's not, you know, hugely busy, because I think the Paracon type circuit is coming to an end now that Halloween is here and going to be gone here pretty soon.
Well, they'll be doing not necessarily Paracons, but I know that they do some of those investigations that raise money for charity around Halloween and stuff. So,
oh yeah, yeah, 100%. What I was I'd like to have him and Rhiannon.
That'd be fantastic if they want. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
I know last time he was on, we had Lindsay on as well.
Yep.
Which was phenomenal. This time, I think it'd be awesome to have his wife on as well, especially since She joins him now. Like, they're husband and wife team, pretty much. Right. And what I didn't know, like, I knew who she was. And I think I even knew, I think I caught, like, wind or heard, read something about they were going out together to investigate. What I did not know is that she's an empath.
Right. I didn't know that either.
And it kind of threw me for a loop. So I for her to be that involved in the paranormal as well, is awesome. And plus, you know, I had a chance to talk with her a little bit, and not as much as I'd like to, but, or like to have, I guess I should say. And she's just as wonderful as he is.
Yeah, I agree. Perfect. That's a perfect couple, and both genuine people as you're going to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I actually stood in line to talk.
Yes,
to Grant.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
After his presentation. Normally I just kind of Mickey Mouse my way in. I just kind of stand by him until he notices me, and then I'm like, hey, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, I do too.
So at least that's what I did last year. But this time I was like, no, these people want it. I'm going to wait my turn. I'm like, I just have something really quick that I wanted to say about his presentation, and you know, I'll wait my turn. So as I'm waiting, Rhiannon is doing like the sales stuff for his photos, and I'm walking by and I see all of these photos of Grant, and you know, these poses, these professional photos and whatnot. I'm like, why don't I have any of you two up here? She said, well, I don't think anybody's really interested in that. I'm like, well, you're doing everything with him now. It should be. And she's like, well, maybe you should ask him. She just kind of looked over. I'm like, I think I will. And I'm hoping at some point in time that, like this time next year, that if she comes to Paracon next year, I'd like to see some photos of the both of them. I think those would probably sell out faster than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I want to interject a quick thing in here too. You know, as great as Grant is, two of his disciples are on par with that, which is Steve and Tango. You know,
I have never talked to Tango, and my interactions with Steve have been like minimal, and there's no real reason for that. I have no idea why, because like he even walked by me Saturday night and he was like, hey, what's up? I was like, oh, not much, you know. And he just, but he kept on walking, so it's not like I was ignoring him or anything. But I have not really had the pleasure of having an actual conversation with those two.
Tango's awesome.
Yeah, I did at the VIP dinner last year a little bit with both of them. And then they were at the VIP dinner. I'm going to tell you what, I was watching the crowd kind of. And for all the VIP celebs that are there, those two are out on the floor shaking hands, not waiting for people to walk up to them. They're walking up to the people, you know what I mean, that are the VIP pays. And they're walking up and saying hi. You know, I mean, that is totally reflective of Grant's influence on that team, you know. And then they were at the bar and they were just hanging out, and if you walked up and said hi, they would stop what they were doing and talk to you for 10 minutes about what was important to you. Photo opportunity, absolutely. You want to take a picture, come on in, let's get a group, let's take singles, let's do the big hug, whatever you wanted was absolutely no issue with them. Which I thought was amazing.
Deb actually can
attest to that.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. Yes. Can attest to that.
Yes, I can. Very much so. I was in my usual shy, terrified state because I was at the Tiki Bar with the ops team, and all of a sudden we look across the bar and boom, there's Steve and Tango. It's like, oh, cool. So the rest of my team was like, go, Deb, go. You can do it. Go talk to him. And so I was like, okay. I went to go grab a soda, and I gave myself a pep talk on the way over to the pop machine, and then I headed over there, and I had a little help from our friend BJ to kind of be the icebreaker when it came to Tango, and I just walked up to him, I touched him on the shoulder, I said, hey Tango, how you been? And he turns around and he gave me a toast with his drink, and I asked for a picture, and he was gracious and took at least 5 or 6 and stood there and talked a decent conversation with me for, like Dave said, good 10, 15 minutes, something like that.
I think next year, because as far as I knew, right up until Paracon, they weren't part of the original, like, poster that got sent out. Like, they were added later. So it wasn't until, like, a week before Paracon I even knew that they were going to be there. If they're there next year, or I have another chance to, because to be honest, I'd like to get them on the show. I really would. Both.
I would too. Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
They're not as easy, obviously, to get a hold of as Grant is, because I just go through Lindsay. But I would hope. I mean, especially if maybe I'd send him a message on Twitter or something like that.
Yeah.
If I could get them, I would like to talk to them.
I would love to.
And if we can't, for whatever reason, get them on the show between now and the next Paracon, then I'm definitely going to make it a goal to talk with them. I don't need, you know, the thing is that I got one photo, and for the entire weekend, and that was only because I was sitting next to Chip, who I want to get to here in a second, and you yep. came over and wanted a photo.
Well, no, what I said was it would be, since we've had him on our show a lot, I thought it would be a great promo for the three of us to be together in a photo. And that's why I did it. Right.
For the and I agree. And that's fine. I got no problem with it. It's not like I'm anti-photo. I don't know. It's I guess I want the conversation. I want the relationship. I don't much care about, hey, you know, here's me. Here's, can I get a selfie with you? It's just that's not what I personally am after. And I understand everybody that wants to get these photos. And sometimes I look at it, I'm like, God, man, I really should have done that. But I'm like, you know what? I'm like, but I introduced myself. I didn't act like that guy. That's like my one thing I will not do. I don't want to be that guy that's all over him. I need a photo. Let's do this. Let's do that. Here's a cell. I don't like doing that. I would love to shake their hand. And I would love to talk to them. We have to go to commercial. And then we'll be back. We'll move on to, obviously, the other people that were there: Elizabeth Saint, Nick Groff, John Zaffis, and of course the wonderful Mr. Chip Coffee,
and Jael and Ryder.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about whether I should add them to that or not.
Oh no, I'm adding them. I'm adding them, because that was my best photo, my best picture of the show. And God bless all of you that I took a picture with, but I'm just saying the quality of that picture, I think, was higher than the rest of the pictures. Although Nick and Elizabeth look very nice too.
You're welcome, Dave.
I thank you very much. And so does Chip, by the way. Yeah. Chip looked great too. Hi, Chip. In case you're listening.
That would be awesome if he would actually listen to the show.
He might catch it on like a repeat, you know, who knows?
I don't know if any of them actually like. This is going to sound really, really bad, and I don't mean it to sound bad. I don't think any of them intentionally listen to Parax. Like, they go out of their way to listen, but they might. But I've never seen a tweet like, "Hey, listen, I just heard this show on, or any, to be honest, any podcast radio thing." Right. You know, they'll promo their show, obviously.
Right. Right.
But I've never seen them like just freelance be like, "I was listening to this paranormal podcast. You guys all should listen to it." Like, I've never seen them do that. Nobody.
And I'm going to tell you what. We're their dirty little secret, you and I. Because they're all listening to us. And they all love us. And they're like, heck yeah, that show rocked. But they're not going to talk about it because it's like their little secret, right? It's like your favorite fishing spot. You don't just walk around on social media and go, hey, by the way, look at these GPS coordinates. I'm slaying all the fish in this lake. No, you don't. You don't tell anybody. We're like their little secret, like their little, like, yeah, that's what we are.
Their guilty pleasure.
We're their guilty pleasure. Like the Dove, like the frozen Dove chocolate bar at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Or, yes. Yes. That's what we are.
Never had the pleasure of a Dove bar at 2 in the morning. So.
Frozen Dove bar, Mike.
Frozen
Dove bar.
Okay, I haven't had a frozen Dove bar, but I did. My weakness is frozen peppermint patties. So like 2 a.m., you throw a bag of peppermint patties in the freezer. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that unfortunate note. We're gonna go to commercial. So we'll be back hopefully here in the next couple of minutes. You're listening to The Odyssey Files on Para X.
UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids.
All right, this is on the call. You think it's you listening to the voice of Para X?
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view. Back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. That didn't work.
Deb just heard the Chris Fleming promo, I think, for the first time that I just played. It was the abducted one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, listen to the Dave and Mike, and if you don't, you're going to get abducted. And then followed by no, that doesn't work.
Which is like the best clip, because it's like the one that just flew out of his head, and he's like, no, that ain't going to work, yeah.
Well, exactly, because you can even tell during the recording of it that he had to think about it. He's like, hey, this is Chris Fleming. And then there's like a 2-second pause, and then he just starts rapping it out there.
Firing it out, man.
So the next person that I definitely want to talk about interacting with is definitely Mr. Chip Coffey. That guy is amazing. And the thing is that you never know if he's being serious or not.
Nope.
And he'll do stuff that you don't expect, and you don't know how to take it, because he was actually directly in front of us, but on the other side of the curtain. So I could see, you could see through the curtains, you could see that, you know, whether he was busy or not. So, you know, Friday morning came around. I didn't get a chance to, neither of us did, even though we saw him, we didn't get a chance to introduce ourselves during the Thursday night VIP dinner, because he didn't arrive until right before dinner. And so I saw that he wasn't all that busy. And so I was like, all right, here's a good chance for me to introduce myself. So I walked around and I was like, Chip. And he's like, hey. And I stuck out my hand to shake his hand. And he's like, no. And he points to the chair right next to him. He's like, sit. And okay. And I said, and he's like, give me a hug. And he's like, we're going to do it this way. And I was like, all right, sweet. But, you know, and then, you know, we just, he thanked me for being so kind to him. You know, being when he comes on the show, I mean, it's like he's thanking me, like I did him a favor,
right?
Like, that is an interaction that I absolutely loved. I cherish it. I did not expect it at all. I go ahead.
I'm just going to say this for the second time tonight, and it might come up again, so don't be shocked. That just goes to show that we're his guilty little pleasure, that he is listening. He probably listens to the recaps and laughs his ass off. You know, he's probably like, those guys, I love those guys. I can't wait until I see him in Minnesota.
Well, I did ask him later, and this is like my second Chip Coffee story. Because I bugged him like twice every day.
Yeah.
Twice on Friday, twice on Saturday. You know, I love me some Chip. And I was feeling out of whack, especially on Friday, for a very specific reason. And wanted some guidance, spiritual or otherwise. You know, if anybody is going to tell me that what I want to happen or hope will happen or whatever, that I'm full of crap, that's just not going to happen, sorry, it's going to be Chip.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to sound just like that, too. Because there's no sugarcoating with Chip Coffee, which is what I love about him.
No, I absolutely do too. You know, especially during his presentation when he brought up crying at commercials.
Yeah.
And he's like when Sarah McLaughlin comes on, he's like, I just want to stab the bitch.
Yeah.
And he's saying this to a whole room full of people. And it was out, but I asked him, how much does he charge for a reading? Because I know that, especially on this show, he's given stories about it. He's like, no, this woman paid me an awful lot of money.
Yep.
To, you know, 'cause she wanted to talk to her dog.
Yep. I remember that. Yep. That was the last episode. Yep.
Yeah. I remember that story. And, he was like, well, for friends and family, I give a 50% discount.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And, the guy's amazing. Not only that, because he was just like, well, I'm like, well, I don't really need, I kind of want to talk to, because he has different rates. If you just want like spiritual guidance, then it's one rate. And if you want to talk to dead people, it's another rate. And if you want to combine the two, it's an astronomical amount of money. It's not as much as a pair of blue pumps, but
it was close.
It was very close. It was just shy. Needless to say, I don't have that kind of money, but. You know, I think he saw kind of my my disappointment that I probably wasn't going to be able to afford his prices.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Who do you want to talk to?" And I was like, "Well, I kind of would like to talk to my mother, you know, for the dead for the talk to dead people portion of it. He's like, what's her name? I'm like, Beverly. How long has she been dead? I'm like, about 10 years. And he just started rattling off. He like gave me a pre-reading or like a preliminary type reading right there in the middle of Paracon.
Yep.
And I told you about this in the hotel room. I don't know if it was Saturday night. I can't remember when I got the reading, but part of it was, I'm seeing something about a broken arm. And I'm like, no. And he's like, I'm seeing something about a broken arm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, no. I'm like, she never broke her arm. And I'm like, I haven't broken a bone in my entire life. And he's kind of stopped for a couple of minutes. He's like, well, then that must be in the future. And I'm like, great. That's what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not already upset. Now I have a broken arm in my damn future. And because I know it ain't her future. But so, yeah, I have that going for me. Go me.
Invest in lots of bubble wrap.
Pretty much. But he didn't say one arm either. So
yeah. Yeah. And I'm saying it's going to be one of those ones where they cast it straight out like this. Not where it's like wrapped against your chest. So
well,
it's going to be the one where you poke everybody in the eyes. You're walking through the store.
You know. I honestly hope that if it has to come to pass, and that actually has to happen.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't.
Oh, it's going to. What do you mean? Hope it doesn't.
Well, they always say that the future is unwritten.
No, it's going to happen. Chip said it's going to happen. You're going to have a broken arm.
No. He did not say it was.
But he didn't say it was going to happen to you.
He did not say it was going to happen to me. She's correct.
Okay.
He said he sees something about a broken arm, and that's it's probably in the future.
Well, maybe it's your son broke his arm.
That would be.
It's in the future. Yeah,
that would be awesome. if I can have a son break his arm.
Yep.
That means I have a son.
Yep.
And I'm more than happy to have him break his arm.
Yep. And you know what? You're going to stop him. You're going to stop him right when he comes home from the hospital. And you're going to say, you know what, kid? I knew that this was going to happen. You know how I knew? Because one of my favorite people on the planet Earth told me at Paracon the second year that we were there that this was going to happen to you. I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't want to scare you. I was just waiting for it to happen.
At that point in time, we're going to be phenomenal friends with Chip. I'm going to call him up on the phone.
Yep.
And he's going to answer, and he's going to say, I told you so.
Yep, absolutely. Okay.
But Deb, did you get to meet Chip at all?
For a grand total of about 30 seconds.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I saw him that I was at our booth, and I noticed he had just gotten back to his after the presentation, and nobody was swarming him yet, so I took the chance to go over there and meet him and possibly get a photo, and I went over there, and he asked me how I was doing. And I said, I'm fine, a little shy, but fine. And he points to a chair next to him. He's like, get your ass back here and sit down. It's like, yes, sir. Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't stand for that at all. But I mean, the one, I felt really bad for Nick and Elizabeth. I really did. Especially Elizabeth. Just because they're so busy right now, like beyond so with Viddy Space, and she's pretty much, I think, like she's like the absolute like brains of that entire system.
I bet she
because and the reason that I say that, and I don't mean like she thought it up, and that's why I'm saying that. I went up to her to introduce myself at the VIP dinner. You know, she was finally by herself. She was up sitting at the table because they have, you know, the tables on the stage for all the Paris celebs to sit at.
Right.
And she was by herself. And I'm like, okay, this is a good chance for me to go up. Because, I mean, she's been on the show twice. You know, we've been talking about her coming on again, but hadn't been able to set down a date.
Yep. Which we fixed.
Which yes, we fixed.
Yep.
November 12th.
Yep.
Monday, November 12th, she would be on the show. So I walk up to her. I was like, "Hey, Elizabeth." She's like, "Hey," like one of those, kind of like.
I think I recognize your voice, but I don't know from where.
Right, and I said, "I said, do you know who I am?" And she's looking at me. She's like, "I feel that I should, but I can't. but I can't place it." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm like, Michael Neal, the Odyssey Files," and her face just exposed. Like, "Hey, how are you? I'm so glad to finally meet you." And she even said, she's like, "I didn't know you were going to be here." And she kind of stops for a second, looks down at the table, she's like, which I probably would have known if I would have responded to to your messages. And
to the 96 messages I have saved that I didn't get back to. Yeah.
It wasn't that much, but...
No, I know. It was 81, not 96. Don't get ridiculous.
Right, right. No, I know. So let's keep this in perspective, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
But while we were talking, she was literally punching on her phone, trying to get a feed going on VidiSpace. Like, right there in the Barracon VIP dinner, she's given the all clear, the all set, and everything is good to go, and go ahead and start streaming this, and while she's sitting at the table.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell she was tired, like just exhausted, but still looked like absolutely ravishing. I mean,
she looked amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think that woman could look bad if she wanted to.
No.
It's mind blowing sometimes. But I bothered her like every day, and I felt bad because again I just Mickey Mouse myself in. So I just kind of stood there, and she glanced, so she knew I was there.
Yeah.
And she knew what I was going to talk to her about. And I know that the Friday they were the headliners to talk the last, and I walked over there to see if, again, we could schedule a date for her to come on. And she's just punching at this computer. And I'm like, are you good to go? Are you ready for your presentation? She's like, "Well, I'm working on it right now." And I'm like, "What?"
That was like 20 minutes or 30 minutes before they had to take the stage at Barracon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's not her fault, right? Because they changed it on them, where it was going to be like a moderator and then a Q&A, and it went to them just presenting themselves.
Well, no, I think I don't think Shooting Star did that to her or to them. At least I don't think so. Basically, what she said to me was, "I didn't even know we were going to have to present." She said, "I thought we were just going to do like you said, like a Q&A."
Yeah, moderator with a Q&A, yeah.
And I felt so bad for her because they went on stage, and Nick was by himself, I mean, with Dave Schrader, obviously, and they were swapping stories.
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth is, like, off on the side stage trying to put this presentation together.
Yep.
While they're supposed to be presenting.
Right, right.
And for whatever reason, she didn't get it to work the way I think she wanted to.
Yeah,
They had things that they wanted to show, previews and clips and stuff from like Paranormal Lockdown. So they got those, but even that didn't really work. And I think that's the guy they had in charge of the AV stuff for Shooting Star.
Yes,
she handed him
her laptop.
This guy her laptop with all the clips, in order, ready to go. And like he couldn't first the volume wasn't working, so she had to show him how to turn up the computer volume.
And then he didn't have the image enlarged, so he only had it like partially on the screen, and she had to go click the button to blow it up.
Yeah, and then they played the second clip, and again the audio they had to do the audio again.
Yeah,
and then the clip ended. And they had it on loop, so it started over again. The guy didn't shut off the, "Hey, she's online right now. I should call her."
No.
We only got like a couple minutes. Yeah. If it was like 7:30, I actually would.
Oh, absolutely.
She's given me permission to do so, but with only five minutes left, I'm not going to. But but the guy didn't stop the clip. Like, he wasn't even paying attention.
Right.
So she literally had to like stand up, lean over
and the point table, at him.
Get his attention, and like slit her throat. You know, cut the thing.
Right.
And you could tell she was a little frustrated.
Yeah.
With everything, and so yeah, I felt really bad that I still needed, even on Saturday, to go, and we need to nail down this date. And but we finally got it done, and so yeah, so she gave herself a notification on the day before and an hour before our show, and Monday, November 12th, she will be back on the show for the third time to talk to us about what's going on with her and Vidi Space and Honda Space. Yes, and you know what I'm surprised at, Dave?
Huh.
Right, thinking about it right now.
What?
Neither one of us gave her crap about her not sending us equipment.
You know what? I felt so bad about how that whole last-second presentation went. And then when I approached the table and went over and said hi to him, when you were talking to Grant on Saturday, and went over to say hi to Nick and thank him for the graciousness of that that video that they made for my kids. First thing that Elizabeth said to me is, she looks at me and goes, "I know, I already talked to him." Like, I was coming over to get her on the show. And I'm like, I just smiled and I looked at her and I go, "That's not why I'm here." I said, "I just came over to say hi and to see how you guys are doing and to thank Nick." I said, "I know you're already confirmed. We already talked about it." I said, "So that's not why I'm here." It was funny. Yeah. She was like, I know. Like, she had her head, like, "I know." I'm like, "I know you know. Relax. That's not why I'm here. I just came over to say hi. See how you guys are."
I don't know why I find that so funny, because it's almost like I was a complete burden on her, and and I shouldn't find that funny, but
no. It was not like she wasn't upset. I mean, at all when she said that. It was more like a, you know, jokingly, "I already know." You know,
that's awesome.
So I have to chime in for 1 second, and then I'm done. But I just want to say something. So, for everybody who knows Chip Coffee or has heard of Chip Coffee, okay, and thinks, "Oh my God, the guy's been doing it for so long, and he's been doing this and doing that for so long, and he charges money to do readings, and he does this, whatever," okay, and you think he's maybe not genuine, I'm telling you what, while he was doing his thing, there were two testimonials that were given by people in the crowd from a previous reading that he had done for them, and it's all Chip could do to not need a box of Kleenex, because he was that emotionally welled up by the fact that he helped these people. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the fame. It wasn't about any of that crap. It was about the fact that he made a difference in these people's lives. And I saw it firsthand. I was there watching it. And so were you. And so was everybody else sitting there. And that really, I already knew that about him because of the small little relationship we have right now. But I just wanted to throw that in there. The guy is genuine. He's a great human being.
Yeah, 100% agree. The last people that I would like to thank, and I'm sorry that I have like 25 seconds to do it, because you guys deserve a hell of a lot more time than this. I definitely would like to thank my team, the Dubuque chapter and the Twin Cities chapter, for everything that you guys did this weekend. It was absolutely phenomenal. You guys worked the booth, and I couldn't be happier and prouder of everything that we did. And I would also like to thank the people that stopped by, that asked us questions, that asked about the equipment, that watched the project, that listened to EVPs, that stood there for, you know, a minute and a half to 2 minutes and watch the video montage of our evidence and then wanted to watch it again.
Right.
That means everything to us, and it's the whole reason. Well, it's most of the reason why we go.
Right.
And we get to see Grant and Chip.
And Jael and Ryder.
Oh, yes, yeah. Dave. You didn't get really get to talk about that. So
no, like, I threw that in there. That's okay. That's why we went. So
who was across? Who was right across the aisle from us? I might.
Yes, you. Yes, they were. Yes.
All right. Well, we have to go now. otherwise, I'm going to get yelled at.
So I know.
For everybody here, thank you, Deb. I'm sorry that I took so much time on this. I wanted you to be far more into it than.
Oh, it's quite all right. I think I did all right for my first time on the radio.
There we go. We'll bring you back. So for Dave and I, everybody have yourselves a good week, and we'll be back next week. Have a good night.
Good night.